Welcome to Small Town Radio, the show with the biggest facts about the smallest towns. I am your host, Maxim.
And I am name redacted, but if you're looking for me on Instagram, find me at Connor _ Kvyachin. That is not my name, though.
Shoving it in there.
This week, we are going to Taos, New Mexico.
Very exciting. You guys might remember that we are revisiting this town from episode 10. So if you want to learn more about it, go check out episode 10.
Yeah, this is our first revisit of a town in depth. And it's quite nice. It's kind of like revisiting a dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in podcast form. So I guess, I mean, a dream is all inside your head, and this podcast is going straight into your ears, so it's pretty much one of the same.
Have you ever dreamed about podcasting?
No, but I've dreamt about stand-up.
I've definitely dreamt about stand-up.
Yeah, I never dreamt about it before I stopped performing due to COVID-19. I never, like, worried about it or never, like, had thoughts until COVID-19, and then I hadn't performed for, like, 6 weeks, and I had dreams about forgetting my lines.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
No, I think that's great. Stand-up? It's like my body being like, get back to it. You gotta go. Come on.
It's time to write. No, I remember when I first started stand-up, probably my first 15 sets, I had a dream about performing all of my new material, and all of it bombed. And I went to the mic that day after my dream, did my whole set, and I was like, it's crazy, because I had a dream about stand-up last night where I did all these jokes, and this was just like my dream, because none of you are laughing like in real life too. And that got a good laugh, which was like, all right, I did good.
See, I knew I was going to bomb my first 15 sets, so no need to put that in the subconscious. The conscious already knew it.
Yeah, right. I think my first laugh was 10 sets in, and it wasn't even any of my material. It was me roasting a heckler. And it was like, what? Like, okay. Clearly I'm funny. I'm just doing my writing bad.
Me no good at writing.
Me no good at writing.
Well, where can you find this podcast? You might be wondering. If you can find me and Maxim in our dreams performing.
Yeah, well, you can find this on Instagram at STRadioPod. You can hit us up with your fan mail at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to Small Town Radio on YouTube. You can find me on Twitter at Maxim of Allen. I'm trying to grow my Twitter following right now. And it turns out if you follow 400 people in one day, Twitter thinks you're a bot and bans you from following any more people for 3 days. And needless to say, I made over 120 followers out of that. So it's a pretty good ratio. But yeah. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I should figure out Twitter. I'm very worried about Twitter. I'm still straddling the fence of being trying to have a professional front, like for employers, and also being a comedian. I think that's a very interesting one and a struggle that you know. But yeah, Twitter's like my last place where I'm like, nope, I don't put anything there. I just have this in case someone's trying to find an account.
Yeah. I wouldn't stress about it. Especially this week. As of recording, America is on fire.
I mean, quite literally.
Yeah. Protests everywhere, police riots, all this stuff.
And we put someone on the moon, not a person on the moon. We put people in space for the first time in a while in America. And that, the launch had a lot of fire, a lot of flame.
Yeah, a lot of flames. So, yeah, it's a tough time. And Twitter is, of course, also on fire right now. And I have decided not to tweet any jokes because it's just in bad taste right now.
Yeah, social media is an interesting thing to address because the internet is kind of a permanent place. And for me, it's very tough because you see a lot of stuff about people. Like if you're staying quiet, then you are a part of the problem. And for me, I'm just like, well, I know where I stand. I know what I believe in this situation, who I support. And like, I feel like, I don't know, social media is not my place. I'd rather take action at the voting booth and, you know, allow other people's voices to be heard over mine. So it's like this weird dichotomy of like wanting to be, to say something, but also realizing it's maybe not my turn to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very much the same. I will like everything and retweet stuff. But I don't feel like I'm going to be leading any groundbreaking discussion online. But I did go to the protests. I was out there supporting and marching last night for like 2 hours. And I was like, man, I'm getting really like, I should go back home soon. But then the protest just kept walking back towards my house. And I was like, I guess I'm in it.
Yeah, no, I'm all for the discourse right now. I think that's really great. Yeah. In this country, it's something that's needed.
On Friday, I went out to protest like briefly just to like check it out. And it was like the beginning of the Barclays Center protest on Friday. And when I got there, it had just started. So it was just a crowd of people just chanting in one spot. And it was peaceful. It was fine, whatever. So I hung out for like 30 minutes and like in the crowd. And then I left. And then I went to an online open mic. And I mentioned that I was there. And I ended with like, oh, I left early. But, you know, I support the cause. And then after the mic, after everyone else had gone, after my whole set, my girlfriend turns to me and said, it sounded like you said, I support the cops. It's like, oh my God, I was mortified. I messaged the runners of the open mic and I was like, oh my God, she just said that this is what it sounded like. Did you guys hear this? They're like, no, you're fine. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to learn more and listen a lot. And the one person, I don't know if you saw it, but do you know Killer Mike?
Yeah.
He's an activist out in Atlanta for people that don't know. It was really interesting because I think he said his dad and maybe a brother and a cousin, they're all cops. I mean, I'm assuming they're all cops. And so he's like, I have a lot of respect for them. And it's like, it's tough because, you know, you're saying these things about cops, but being racist, but then they're also black cops. And like, he really like, I don't know. It was an 8-minute, press conference that he was doing, and he kept on saying the words, which was plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. And for me, it's like, I just really struck a chord being like, all right, we have this moment, we're having this discourse, but what's next? What are we actually doing to make change, systematic change? And, you know,
his speech was excellent. I agree with him pretty much across the board because fundamentally, like, something needs to change. Like, we can't have, like, people who are living in fear constantly in this country. It's not okay.
Yeah, no, it's just, it really is about, we're having our, what can we do to make things better, to increase equality and to let voices be heard that need to be heard, and create regulation that makes everyone feel safe and equitable in this country.
Right, exactly. And I figure, you know, my goal for this podcast is to dig a nice little hole in the sand that you can stick your head into for a minute while the world burns around us.
And you can see that on Twitter, folks.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I had to say it here, too, because it fits.
So with that, if we're using our imagination, this is a dream. Let's dream we're going to Taos, New Mexico.
RemedyBoys.com is today's sponsor. They are an excellent choice for pure, natural, and chemical-free health remedies. Remedy Boys, with a Z, is well known for its MSM organic sulfur flakes, a natural remedy that releases toxins and restores and regenerates cells for a healthy immune system. The passionate team is dedicated to improving immune systems all around the country. This is especially important in difficult, trying times like today. Boost your immune system and discover the natural and powerful benefits of MSM, organic sulfur flakes. Whether you're an athlete, health buff, or looking to make a positive change in your mental and physical health, RemedyBoys.com offers the solutions you need to lead a better life. Be the change you want to see in the world. Visit their website at remedyboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And like them on Facebook/Remedy Boys. You can also call them at 720-789-8255. 8505 to speak with a representative today. As a special offer, you can receive free shipping by entering the coupon name Small Town in all caps at checkout. That's remedyboys.com. That's boys with the Z. Receive free shipping with this offer. And we should add that we are not medical professionals. You should consult your doctor before taking any supplements. Astral projecting, engage.
Do you want me to go through the big ones, where it is and the population, yeah, and then you can bring in our first fact?
Yep, go for it.
All right, so Taos, New Mexico is in central northern New Mexico, and its population in 2010 was 5,716, and in 2018, the estimate was 5,971, so moving up in population.
Yeehaw.
That being said, you can still fill out your census.
Yeah, fill out your census? It's probably too late.
No, I mean, Killer Mike in his speech said you can still fill it out. So I'm assuming that they...
Okay.
That's I assume he knows he's a good, you know...
I don't pay attention to any news sources besides Killer Mike. In fact, he gave us the script for this episode.
No, news is... Oh, we're in the dream. We're in the dream. We are in the dream. So what is... Do you have something? I know I... First fact for you, but do you have a nice recap of Taos and like what it is in general? Because I have some stuff written out here if you want me to.
Okay, a very quick summary.
Yeah,
is the first people that live in Taos. They are native Taos Puebloans, and they built a world famous pueblo sometime between 1000 and 1400 AD, and It's one of the longest continually inhabited places in North America. So they live in this pueblo that's up to 5 stories tall. Some of them live there year round. Others live on the reservation for most of the year, and they only stay in the pueblo during like the winter. But there's a big group of native people there that kind of defined this community before the Spanish moved in, and then further on, like when America. Mm-hmm. Claimed the land. So,
and Taos Pueblo is still there on the northern border of what is now Taos, New Mexico.
Yep. And that's, you can learn all about that in episode 10, and you can listen to me fumble some pronouncers.
Oh man, pronouncers. Yes. And today, do you have, do you want me to say a quick overview so people get a general gist of what it is?
Okay, go.
Yeah. So it's one of America's foremost bona fide art colonies. It also has a world-class ski resort, a World Heritage Site, which is the Taos Pueblo, and one of the most photographed and iconic churches, St. Francisco de Assis, and a majestic landscape encompassing the Rocky Mountain and the Rio Grande Gorge. So it's got a whole lot of... lot.
Yeah, it's... It is a really beautiful place. I can speak from experience there. I'm going to start us off with our first facty fact, though. Are you ready?
Fact me up, Scotty.
Fact me up, Scotty. So, fact number one, this place was founded by Nuevo Mexico Governor Fernando Chacon in 1795 to act as a fortified plaza and trading outpost for the neighboring Native American Taos Pueblo. So the Spanish come here, they find this, and they like build a fort nearby so that they can interface with the Puebloans.
Do you know why 1795 is an important year?
No.
It's 200 years before I was born.
Oh.
Right. It's a big one. 200. It's the bicentennial... Pre-bicentennial anniversary of my birth.
Pre-bicentennial anniversary of my birth. I like that. So yeah, they also had some Hispano communities, including Ranchos de Taos, Canyon, Taos Canyon, Taos Canyon, Ranchitos, El Prado, and Arroyo Seco. And something... I'm not quite sure. I'm going to be honest. I'm not quite sure about those. What's going on there?
I'm glad you said it first, because I was going to apologize before saying a lot of the names for sounding as white as I sound.
I know, right? It's like, it's so messed up because it's just Spanish. Like, I mean, if there's any language we should be able to like pronounce, it should be like Spanish a little bit.
Sometimes I struggle with English, though. I'm going to be honest.
So a quick recap also, as you may remember, Taos means place of the red willows in the native Taos language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, do you want me to bring us up to modern day, or do you want to throw in something?
I mean, we have some of that modern day. Do you, I have some stuff in between, but it's more a factoid. Bring us up to modern day.
Okay, so it was settled by the Puebloans, and then the Spanish moved in, and then in 1640, the Puebloans had a revolt because they were sick of the Spanish missionaries meddling in their affairs, and also the encomenderos.
You're trying.
Tributes. Basically, it was the Spanish colonial imperial system where everyone that was on their land had to pay tribute to the Spanish Empire. So they were sick of being like shaken down for their goods. So in 1640, they had a revolt where they killed their priest and a bunch of the Spanish settlers, and they peaced out and they fled the Taos Pueblo, and then they left for 21 years, and they came back in 1661.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1680, the Taos Pueblo joined the widespread Pueblo Revolt, which I think was a general strike amongst Native Americans controlled by the Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Spanish reconquered them in 1692. And then they kind of had a bunch of tensions until 1696, when the governor Diego de Vargas defeated the natives at Taos Canyon. Oh, man. And then between 1780 and 1800, Don Fernando de Taos, now Taos, was established. Between 1796 and 1797, the Don Fernando de Taos land grant gave land to 63 Spanish families in the Taos area, which is when it was like established in my first fact, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The town in the 1800s attracted mountain men who trapped beaver. And then in the mid-1800s, when Mexico ceded the region to the U.S., in 1847, Hispanics and American Indians in Taos staged a rebellion, also known as the Taos Revolt. During the revolt, the American governor Bent was scalped and killed by Pueblo warriors, and they set his horses free.
Yes, yes, that is an important thing. That was my extra fact, if, you know, we didn't have enough. Wikipedia put that in the nicest way. You know when you have a compliment sandwich and you're like, you try and soften the blow of something terrible with two nice things? This is exactly what it says. Governor Brent Street, so it's under this heading that says Brent Street, which is Brent Street, located just Bent north Street. Of the Taos Plaza. This street was the location of the governor Charles Bent's home, which is, you know, the nice compliment at the beginning. Governor Bent was scalped and killed by Pueblo warriors during the Taos Revolt on January 19th, 1847. That is the negative thing. Clearly, hopefully you got that part. And then the other compliment, during the Taos Revolt, Bent's horses were set free from the stable. Aww.
Yeah, I know. That's the part that makes you go, yay, horses.
But it was just like, he has a street. Oh, he was scalped and killed. But, you know, his horses were set free.
Exactly. I loved that one. It was funny because when you read, if you go up further into the history section, it just says he was killed. Then you scroll down, it's like, oh, he was scalped. And there's just a quick other end piece here that I want to finish up. So New Mexico was a territory of the United States beginning in 1850 and became a state in 1912. For historical reasons, the American flag is displayed continuously at Taos Plaza, both day and night. And the reason for this is during the American Civil War, there was Confederate sympathizers in the area, and they attempted to remove the flag, and the Union officer Kit Carson sought to discourage this activity by having guards surround the area and fly the flag for 24 hours a day.
It That was my second fact, actually, which is very interesting. Very interesting. You forgot one thing to bring us all the way up to modern day.
Okay.
In 2020, Taos, New Mexico suffered under COVID-19, just like the rest of the United States.
Oh, no.
You know that's going to be a part of the history books everywhere.
I mean, it is. Maybe should we throw that in for every place we do?
For the time being, yeah. But it was interesting. So that was something else that stood out to me, the flag flying. Because the question for me was not, oh, why did this happen? It's saying, why is flying a flag 24 hours special? Because I would think that flying a flag 24 hours is, you know, just a thing that they do. And also, I want to shout out Captain Smith Simpson, who was there, obviously, Kit Carson. And then, let me see if I get this name, Siren St. Vrain. Siren St. Vrain was also there. All these people, big shout outs to these guys. But the flag, the question of the flag still remains, right? You have a flag that's flying 24 hours of the day. 24 hours of the day. And it's special because the National Flag Code, which I looked up, says a flag should only be displayed from sunrise to sunset on buildings and on stationary flagstaffs in the open. And the only way it should be flown at night is if there is proper lighting so that the flag can be recognized. So that means, I don't know if there are lights in Taos, but clearly earlier on to support this event, the U.S. government said, you know what, Taos, you're just better than us. You stood by our flag and you can fly it in the nighttime.
All the time in the nighttime. I wonder what they do if they have to clean it. They probably have a procedure for like lowering and hoisting a new flag simultaneously.
There are ways. Yeah, I bet they take it down for like lightning storms or something like that. But there's like, did you ever in elementary school, like do the flag folding and all that?
I mean, I think briefly. I was never, okay. Honestly, the time I was supposed to do it in first grade, my mom didn't open the letter we got telling me I was supposed to be on the school announcements that day and I was supposed to do the flag raising.
Yeah.
So like the announcements happened and then they were like, let's bring up our new first graders. And I'm Maxim Allen. So I was going to be first in line. And they skipped to the girl whose last name was like A-N instead of A-L. And I wasn't there. And everyone in the classroom looked at me like, where were you? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, so they must do that there. But I just thought it was really interesting that there's this whole flag code, flag culture that I didn't know about.
It's crazy because like, imagine that how tired those color guard people have to be waving that American flag around 24 hours a day.
What's also interesting when you think about it, it's like potentially, I don't know if the Taos Pueblo Nation has a flag, but it's the third flag that land has been under.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, so it's just like, just an interesting thing to think about.
A lot of history.
Well, do you want to hear my fact about something in modern day?
No.
Well.
Okay. I changed my mind. You can go.
Okay, good. I was struggling to find something earlier in life. maybe the centennial of my birth, you know? So we hit on up top that Taos has art. You know, if...
Yep.
The closest fast food restaurant motto that Taos has, like if you put a motto with Taos and a motto with a fast food restaurant, it would most resemble Arby's. Arby's has the meat, Taos has the art. And,
has the peat? P-E-A-T? Is that a paint term?
There's peat moss, and that helps your soil. But actually, it's really interesting because I went to taos.org. Got off the wiki. Thank you very much. Hold your applause, please.
I'm going to insert a laugh track right here. Our applause track.
So on test.org, it says, original art is on the walls of our restaurants, banks, the hospital, and most all public offices. And as soon as I read that, which I think is really cool, but it immediately made me think of this Daniel Tosh joke from, what is it, People Pleaser? Have you ever heard that album?
I have not. I haven't listened to any of his stand-up.
For whatever reason, I went through a phase where I just listened to a bunch of Daniel Tosh, and this stood out. I might have told you this one before, but hearing about all the art, the local art on the walls, I just thought of the joke, which, and this is Daniel Tosh is here. You ever go into a cute local cafe and an artist has their work for sale on the wall? Has anyone not walked up, looked at the price, and went, who the fuck do they think they are?
Yeah.
I just, that always stands out to me, but Taos is like, it has so much going on. They actually have 80 art galleries.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
And on the website too, it says someone, no one remembers who, but everyone agrees, which is the best way to start a true fact, once claimed that Taos has the most artists per capita than any town in the world, even France. And if you add musicians, writers, filmmakers, and theaters to that list, everyone in Taos is an artist. So, Aww. Yeah, it's quite
That's,
nice.
I mean, it's cool.
And also, I just want to point out, Paris is a city, not a town. So,
yeah. Also, you said France, which is a country.
Did I say France?
You just said France.
Let's just pretend like I said that to drive home the point that Paris is not a town even more. But it says here, there are two major art festivals in Taos, Fall Arts and Spring Arts, several film festivals, a poets and storyteller festival, and four musical festivals, classical, jazz, and rock. And then it asks, what are your preferences? And I do have a preference. I'm glad they asked, because from the mid-90s, 1990s to 2003, the Taos Talking Pictures Film Festival happened. And the festival's top prize was 5 acres of land.
Whoa.
that's a lot of land. That's like, if the land was developed, like, and you could get a loan based off of it, it's like a lot. So
be
much.
Honest, Connor, you have no idea how big 5 acres is.
5 acres? I mean, this 5 acres is sizable. I mean, think about, I think the house that my parents are on, like the place I'm living, is like half an acre right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like we had 3.5 acres I think it was 3.5 acres in my home, like my original home in New Hampshire. And, like it took like multiple hours to mow, but it's also like trees and everything. So like I have a good estimate. Like you can build a sizable house on 5 acres. It all depends on.
But how long does it take an ox to plow your lawn?
A yoke or just one? So it was just it depends, you know, on the development. If power lines are coming in, it's attached to city water. Do you need to add a well? What other resources are available? But 5 acres of land. For a film festival?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, also, if you drive through that area, which I've done once, it makes sense. Because, I mean, we say it's got, like, the most artists per capita, but there's only almost 6,000 people here, mm-hmm. and it's very wildernessy around it. Like, there's lots of land out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is my fact. Bring back the festivals where I get free land for winning, please.
Could you imagine having a festival like that in New York City? They would be like, the top prize, a third of an acre vacant lot worth $12 million.
Man, it's quite a bit. Quite a bit. Yeah, that's the arts, the art scene, the France of the world.
Well, I'm going to tag up on that, is that many famous artists worked here when the Taos art colony was established around the turn of the century. And basically, artists started flocking to here in around like the early 1900s. See how many of these names you know from the notable list. Mabel Dodge Lujan, Andrew Dasburg, D.H. Lawrence, Georgia O'Keeffe, Nikolai Fetchin, and Ansel Adams.
I'd say less than half.
Yeah, I only know Georgia O'Keeffe and Ansel Adams.
I read this one too, actually. The town of Taos in north central New Mexico has been home to many famous residents, including Julia Roberts.
Whoa, I didn't see that.
I'll explain where I saw it later when we get to a fact about some experiment, potential experiment. Let's just say it's like, if I were to hum a tune,
might
be an experiment with that.
There was one guy I found pretty cool in the artist list. I don't know if you read this. There was a man named R.C. Gorman, He was an internationally renowned artist from the Navajo Nation, so he's Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And people called him the Picasso of the American Indian arts. And during his time, he was not accepted by the entire Taos art colony. So Gorman, he opened the Navajo Gallery in 1968 on historic Ladue Street. And it was the first art gallery owned by a Native American in the United States. And it contained a large body of his work and some of those of the local artists.
Yeah.
And his work is like pretty sick. Like Picasso's, I looked it up, he's got some good stuff.
Picasso was an interesting guy. Interesting painter.
Yeah, this guy wasn't Picasso though.
Well, I'm saying if he's Picasso, was he Picasso like for his style or for his notoriety, his fame?
I think it's his style. It's not quite as trippy as like Picasso, but like I think the use of colors and like kind of the surreal vibe to it is like what it's about. Like I think I'm gonna link this in chat to you, and you can just look at that. You might even recognize some of the paintings and like the style that he does.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah, less trippy, but I see what you're saying about the colors there. Huh.
Yeah, and same thing goes for like Georgia O'Keeffe. Like Georgia O'Keeffe's work kind of looks like his in the color tones. And obviously all these artists are out here in the Southwest, so they kind of see the same landscapes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I know we're about half an hour in right now. I have one more fact. I don't know. Do you want me to just go through it quick?
Do it if you want me to.
No, it's a different fact then.
Oh, okay.
I'll just note this because it's pretty cool. It's modern day. Obviously, this place has a lot of history, but the third week of July, pretty much every year, they have this multi-day festival. It's called the Fiesta de Taos. Fiestas de Taos. And it's a celebration of some of the patron saints in town. It actually has four different names, and I'm not going to butcher them by going through, but they have like, it starts off with a mass, and then they crown a fiestas queen. Then they have a celebration during the celebration, they have musicians pretty much every hour in the downtown historic plaza, historic downtown in the town plaza. And then the first day is a children parade. And then the next day is the fiesta parade. So they have, not only do they have art and they celebrate the arts, but they have celebrations. And this one specifically celebrates the history and the heritage of the three cultures in the town of Taos.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, I'm going to finish this off with the last little snippet of effect here because we are over time. And we forgot the time for our ad break.
Oh, I remember that we forgot after we forgot. We'll put it in.
So Taos is the origin point of something, a paranormal phenomenon known as the Taos hum. Mm. It's a low-frequency humming noise that's only audible to some people. But there's like a lot of investigations about what causes this, but some people think it's supernatural. Some people think it's like a man-made something or another. But this has been kind of like a ongoing urban legend mystery type. And it was on the TV show Unsolved Mysteries, The X-Files. And it was the basis for a Criminal Minds episode called Mixed Signals. And you can learn about it on YouTube. There's lots of conspiracies.
Yeah. All right. That's Taos in a nutshell.
In a Taos shell. That's Taos in a Pueblo.
All right.
You got an ad for us? Who's sponsoring you today? In one word.
Rush.
Ooh. Mysterious.
You said one word, so.
Yeah. Rush. The band or just the word Rush or the feeling of Rush?
It's actually Rush, the feeling of needing to go to the bathroom. Hey, why are you leaving so quick? Sorry, I'm in a rush.
Okay, today I'm sponsored by conditioning of the air. Because I'm sweating.
I thought it was going to be like the mental conditioning. Like, what is it? Like, you're doing an experiment on someone.
Pavlov's dog.
Yeah.
No, my cat's conditioned me. Now I know his food cry. When he cries a certain way, I just feed him because otherwise I'm going to have to hear it all the time. All right. So the next part of our show, you know it. You love it. You're super familiar with it. Welcome to the Goblin Gallery.
Ooh, yeah. Chica-chica. 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 I'm doing it too fast. It's okay. I'll get it next time.
That was good, though.
Chica-chica. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first? I got a real banger.
You go first.
Oh, you want to follow up this? Okay. All right. I have a poem written.
A poem?
A poem. I want to be an artist of Taos. So, here we go. If I had a house in Taos, it would have a mouse. And this mouse, well, he would dress in a blouse. Yes, my dear, a dressed mouse inside my house. What fun! He'd tell me the tales of this land and these people of Taos. His name, the mouse, of course, is Klaus. And Klaus is okay with wearing a blouse. And you should be too. Klaus the mouse would tell me the tale from our house of the natives who built a fine land for a mouse. And people too. He supposes. This land of many cultures, Klaus would speak, is filled with such rich history, and a flag flying high, he would squeak. That flag was once ripped down, but no more, not in this town, for it flies high, whether it is light or dark in the sky. He'd tell me the history of these native people, and the tales of the Old West, and more. Including the brothels, which house some people. Today, with its beauty and nature and talent, there are many great artists and those who are just measly impressionists, he'd spout. With its culture and dancing and merriment, fiestas, fiestals, and experiments, oh boy, it's too much for one night or one mouse. So Klaus, with a yawn, says he must turn in and turns about. As he struts to the door to exit in grand fashion, he whispers, "That hum that you hear. It is true, I do fear. It is an experiment, for I am a real mouse, but also a ghost. I am the ghost of Mark Twain, and this secret you must keep." And I say, "Okay, Klaus. Okay. I believe what you speak. For this house in Taos is ours, and no secrets will leak."
Wow, that was really good. I actually enjoyed that. That was fun.
At one time, I wanted to be a poet, ladies and gentlemen. And then once you find two words that rhyme, you go, "How many can I find?" And I only found four and gave up on that rhyming scheme.
That's like a poem that I would have made on like 11 by 22 and then I would frame it and then nail it to the wall in my bar in Taos.
And then charge people $800 for it.
Yes, exactly. That was great. Good job. Thank you. I'm going to give that 9 goblin gold out of 10.
Wow. That equals to 4 shroot bucks.
4 shroot bucks, yep. Or what's the money in Always Sunny? The Patty's
Patty's buck? Yeah, Patty's dollars, whatever it is. And they give them all free to make a circular economy, and then they collect them all and give them out again.
So funny. Yeah. This week for the Goblin Gallery, I'm going to admit that I did my research last night and completely spaced this part
of the
show.
That's why I offered you to go first, man. I didn't know you had to.
So I guess I'm just going to riff here for a minute. I noticed that when you mentioned the types of artists here, you did not mention podcasters.
Oh.
So I think if I moved to Taos and made an art project, it would be called the Taos Times, and it would be a podcast. And what would our theme song be? And then I would be like, did you see this painting in this restaurant on the way? And then I talk about it and I describe the art. But it's an audio medium, so people are frustrated. But I encourage them to go see it themselves.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to share a quick story in that when I was driving through Taos and their very nice downtown street, the speed limit is like 15 miles per hour, and it has like pedestrian crosswalks everywhere, and you're supposed to yield. And I just totally spaced that part, and I got really close to a guy and he flipped me off, and I drove out of town.
The passion of the moment.
I want to apologize to that guy. So my contribution to the Goblin Gallery is me apologizing to some stranger in Taos approximately November 2018. My bad.
I just want to point out how meta that is. You're saying if I were to move to Taos, I would be an artist and my art form would be podcaster. And if I were a podcaster, I would apologize to this guy, which I'm doing right now. Whoa,
it was all a dream.
You can wake up now.
Welcome to the apology cast, folks. All right. Sorry, everyone. I'll be more prepared next week. I even put it in my script template to remind myself so I don't space it. Yeah. I feel bad.
I just want to point out, if anyone didn't hear me sing last week, go back to the end of that episode and hear a real banger.
You say it in the episode. It'll be in the post credits. So technically it is in the post credits.
Yeah. All right.
Great job. Good hustle. Nice poem. The poem really made up for the fact that I did not have anything except for some ridiculous commentary.
I just wish, if I were to critique my own poem, I wish that I had a better way to wrap it around. I wish I had more ghost themes in there, a little bit more punchy. I had a few good laughs in there, but you know, it's draft one. Draft one.
For 1,000 years, the mouse Klaus has been in his house in Northern Taos.
Northern Taos. Oh, what a house it is. Pueblo-esque. A spouse isn't the right word, because that's marriage. He has been a spouse. Duh.
The mouse Klaus has a spouse who's also a mouse in his house in Northern Taos.
Oh, and they both wear blouse. Blue and green.
They hunt grouse.
Grouse? What is grouse?
A bird.
Oh, these mouse hunt birds, you do say, my friend?
I don't know.
Oh, for when will this poem rhyme end?
All right. Well, that's all we got for you guys. Thanks for listening. Love you all. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and I'll send you stickers.
Yeah, I love some of you. Those who don't, you've gotten the mail. If you haven't got a message like in the mail by now that don't love you, assume that I love you. So I make it very clear. My name is Redacted. Find me on Instagram under the pen name Connor Kvyatchyn.
And I'm Maxim Allen. Find me on Twitter @MaximofAllen. Follow me, please. I can't follow you back right now because I'm banned from following people back. But all right, guys.
Alrighty, bye.